You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Come on, get up! Good morning. It is time to get up with Milwaukee's best. Bucks, Nets, good to the final shot. We've got you covered right off the top. Then, when is a disgruntled quarterback not a disgruntled quarterback? Russ says it ain't so. We have a whole bunch of questions. And then, college football, as you know it, is on the verge of enormous change. You need all the details. We've got them for you as we get up with you, starting right now, on a Friday, delighted to be back and delighted you've chosen to get up with us. We are going to be busy today. Football on this Friday? Absolutely. Jeremy Fowler is here to break a bunch of stories, and Bart Scott and Lewis Riddick are ready to break them all down. We'll get to that in a moment, but we begin with the game of the night last night, Game 3 NBA in Milwaukee. After the Bucks were humiliated in Game 2 by the Nets, Giannis struggling big time, down 2-0, but last night he had it going. Fourth quarter, tied at 74. There he is. Boom. Giannis knocking down a jumper, finish with 33. Bucks by 2. Just over 2 minutes to play. We're tied at 78. Low scoring. Chris Middleton. Oh, he was great last night. 35 and 15. Bucks by 2. A buck and a half left in the game. Tied at 80. Kevin Durant gets it back. Knocks it down. He had 30. The Nets a three-point lead. Less than 15 seconds to go. Bucks down by 1. Where are you going? For the biggest basket of the game. Oh, Drew Holiday. Spinorama. He had just 9 points, but that's the biggest bucket of the Milwaukee season. They got a one-point lead. Nets can try to go for the win. Wait a minute. Where's this going? Almost a turnover. Somehow it winds up in the hands of Brown. That's a wild shot. Not what they were looking for. They would have to foul. Chris Middleton knocks down 2. 2 seconds left. Three-point game. All James can do is watch. Where are you going for the shot? Kevin Durant, not a great look, and it doesn't go. Bucks win 86-83. The Nets series lead is now 2-1, and there are two places to look for the solution last night, and it was those two, Giannis and Chris Middleton, combining to score 68 of Milwaukee's 86 points last night. That's over 79%. It is the highest percentage of a team's points scored in a playoff game by any duo in NBA history. So that's how good they were last night. And here is the beginning of our basketball insight this morning. PJ and Big Perk, good enough to get up with us this morning. Thanks, guys. Big Perk, I will start with you because we've been going back and forth in this whole thing. How did Milwaukee do it last night?
Well, they mixed it up, Granny. They got physical. They didn't come with that cute and sassy type mentality. They got it out the mud last night. They touched them up. They roughed it up. They made it a physical game. Look, you cannot afford to go into this game and try to get into a cute and sassy game with this Brooklyn Nets team. You're going to lose. But the Milwaukee Bucks, they came out with a different type of mindset. They hung their hats on the defensive end. They made the Nets uncomfortable, and they contested a lot of their shots. Look, they didn't hope that they missed. They made them miss. And this is how you got to beat the Nets. You got to grind it out. You got to get it out the mud. And the Milwaukee Bucks did just that.
They did. And PJ, you said on this show yesterday that Milwaukee's defense, particularly at the three-point line, was going to be the key. And they did the job last night. Is that the recipe? Can they ride that all the way to a huge comeback and winning the series?
Well, it's a start, Greeny, but they need some offense, too. I mean, if you told me they were going to score 86 points again, they scored 86 the last game and got beat by about 40. This time they scored 86 and they won because of that right there. There was pressure on the three-point shooters. The Nets, who'd been lighting them up from outside, shot 8 for 32 from the three-point line because just what Perk was talking about. They felt them. They were physical. They got into them. They made them work. Even the last shot right here, you saw P.J. Tucker working. Yeah, that's a huge step in doing that. But they need to make some threes themselves. Chris Middleton was 3 for 6, Greeny. The rest of the team was 3 for 25 from three. Next time, I think Bud will try the three-point line on both ends of the basket. There's the physical Giannis. We didn't see that. Right at him to the rim. He got physical in the paint. It made a big difference. Brook Lopez keyed the defense. 6 blocks for the big guy. Get that out of there, Kyrie. You're not in my house. Huge difference. But here's the man, Chris Middleton. Everybody said he couldn't play. He can play. He delivered last night. Not just the points and the big free throws at the end. 15 boards on top of that. He played like the all-star that he is.
And Big Perk, let's talk about that for a minute, because Giannis and Chris Middleton were significantly questioned after a terrible first two games, particularly game two. What did they show you by coming out and playing that way last night, Perk?
That they have a different type of mindset, that they're able to overcome adversity. And they did that last night. Chris Middleton, right, he was in his bag. You saw him where he wasn't hesitant. He didn't have any doubt. He was shooting his shot with confidence. And Giannis, he got out early in transition. This is where Giannis flourished well, getting out early, attacking the paint, not settling for jump shots. Look. The Brooklyn Nets love when Giannis hit a jump shot. You know why? Because they try to bait him into taking more. Right here, Chris Middleton was getting to his spot, sizing guys up, coming off the screen, knowing what he was going to do with the basketball and delivering in great fashion. And like Coach PJ said, he had 15 boards. This is at the shooting guard position. So you could tell he had it on his mind to go out here and get this win.
So the other day, Perk, both you and I thought this series was over. I'm not afraid to admit it. And now the Bucks play their way back in with an impressive performance. Game four is Sunday, Big Perk. Who wins it?
The Milwaukee Bucks is going to win it. But look, it's still TBD, Greeny, okay? To be determined. All right, look, I'm not putting my faith in Giannis. I'm not going there just yet. Kevin Durant is still the best player in this series, and he's still the best player in the world today. And right, and Kyrie Irving is not going to shoot 9-for-22. I think the Milwaukee Bucks are going to shoot the ball better from three. I think the crowd is going to rally behind the role players. I think P.J. Tucker is going to continue to be a force. He's going to knock down shots. I see the Milwaukee Bucks winning this game four.
What do you think, P.J.?
I think they can win it. They just need to play offense. They need to defend the way they defended last night, and they need somebody else needs to make some shots, Greeny. They're not going to win with 86 points again, I don't think.
We mentioned it. Drew Holiday had a quiet night, but he did have the big bucket on the spin move at the very end. Guys, stay close. We'll have much more as we continue here. We'll get to the West Conference game last night as well. But the big story from the NFL continues to be at Green Bay Packers camp, where yesterday was the final day of the team's mandatory mini camp, one for which Aaron Rodgers did not show. This, of course, meant that Jordan Love got as many reps as he could handle as the number one QB. So there's a silver lining with all the dark clouds that currently hover over that team, if you will. Let me bring the football crew in here again. Bart Scott, Lewis Riddick, can't wait to hear from you guys, but Jeremy Fowler, we will start with you. So now the minicamp has come and gone. No sign of Rodgers. Love had good days and bad, which I guess is to be expected. So where does it go from here? What is next in this saga, Jeremy?
Well, Greeny, the Packers know they have 6 weeks to try to fix this leading up to training camp in late July. And so they're going to actively look for solutions like they've been doing for the past month. And I reached out to some execs around the league asking, how would you try to fix this? And some common themes that came up: create a better guaranteed structure in his contract for the next 2 to 3 years so he's clear-cut the guy. Maybe issue a mea culpa of sorts publicly. Throw him that bone that, hey, we miscommunicated with you. We dropped the ball somehow. And then otherwise, you just wait this out and see if Rodgers actually retires.
Okay, so wait to see if he actually retires is a fascinating sentence to leave it with. So, Lewis Riddick, I come to you. If the ball is in the Packers' court now, because Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem to be interested in having it, at least in his hands at this moment. So if the ball is in their court right now, what should they do?
I don't think they should do anything, Greeny. I think they should actually wait. I think at this point in time, you've probably had a lot of these conversations that Jeremy is already alluding to as far as how can we restructure your contract? How can we add some more guarantees to it? You know, having those hard conversations where maybe you're going ahead and admitting that, yeah, there's probably better ways on a personal basis that we could have done better business with both you and other prominent players in this organization. And yes, we realize it's the people who are in the helmets, who are in the pads, who are walking through the building every day that actually make the Green Bay Packers who they are. We understand that this is a people business. We understand that you drive this business and that we're all in this together. We get that. Maybe we lost sight of it, but we get it. I'm just alluding to things that Aaron has already alluded to himself. So I would assume that they've already addressed that, because if you haven't, what are you waiting for at this point? He's kind of giving you some breadcrumbs as far as what it is that's bothering him. You should already have gobbled those things up and started talking about it. So at this point, I'd wait, and I would do exactly what Jeremy said that an executive told him. I'd see if he really is willing to retire. Is he really willing to, at 37 years old, give up any time at all on the football field? I would wait until training camp, see if he reports. Then I would wait until the regular season, see if he reports. Because at that point in time, you know the stakes get very, very high for him as far as missing time, both because of his age, because of fines that could start being accrued, because of lost wages. I mean, there's a lot of things now that Aaron's going to have to consider as time ticks on here. So if I'm the Packers, I take advantage of it.
Yeah, once it gets into the season, there's enough money involved that even for someone with that much money, it starts to really matter. Bart Scott, right. What do you think?
Listen, they have to find some type of compromise, and I think they've tried everything, right? They went out and visited him. They've apologized. They publicly said how much they want him. But I think they have to find a common ground, and I think the common ground, and Lewis is a former exec, the common ground, I believe, is to tell Aaron Rodgers, come in, we'll allow this to be your last season, and we'll restructure your contract so that you can go wherever you want and you're an unrestricted free agent after this year. You know, because if they don't win the champion, they're not going to win a championship with Jordan Love this year. They're in full rebuild mode. But if they trade Aaron Rodgers, the compensation they're going to get isn't going to take effect to next year. So they have to figure out how to get Aaron Rodgers on the field this year and say, okay, we'll let you go and let you become an unrestricted free agent. That way a team doesn't have to give up a lot of compensation. You can be Tom Brady and you can pick where you want to go with your career next. And yes, you're not going to get anything back for Aaron Rodgers, but you're also going to get his money off the books. And you're going to be fleeing free and clear of his salary. And you'll be able to start your rebuild process after you have one more take at a Super Bowl run.
So I've heard you say that before, Bart, and there's a lot of things about it I like. Lewis, I want to ask you one more thing, and we can go back to that a little bit later. But at what stage, if at all, Lewis, if you were in that seat, would you start to consider trading him? Which is to say, is there a point that could come before the end of this coming season where you would say to yourself, okay, I will trade him to Denver or something like that right now? What would have to happen?
Sure. I mean, I think as the trade deadline approaches, and if there's a team like Denver that is just absolutely, look, there's always points where you wind up seeing the writing on the wall and you say, look, even though this is not in my best interest, this is not in the team's best interest, this could really impact my career as a general manager and my standing with this football team if, you know, I trade him, it's still the best thing it's in the best interest of this football team. It's the best move I can make at this point in time. And I think if this got into the season and this became Carson Palmer-esque where he said, look, I told you, I don't care what this takes, what this costs me, I'm not playing for you. I don't care how you restructure my contract. I don't care if you let me go next year. I don't want to be around this place anymore. Not one more single down. Then you have to start looking at it that way. And I know that's a tough pill. That will be a tough pill for them to swallow if it gets to that point. But before the trade deadline, I mean, I think you'd have to start considering that and say, hey, look, we could probably get a king's ransom here. We're going to have to move on and turn the page. We did like Jordan Love. There was a reason why we traded up to draft him. And hopefully he's showing the signs of being a franchise quarterback in subsequent years that make you a little bit more willing to go ahead and do that.
Okay, I have to leave it there for the moment, but I have a lot more questions, a lot more to get to with that, and we will. We're just getting started on a very busy day. A lot of football on this Friday, including college football, on the verge of announcing a whole new championship. Some teams might be playing NFL-sized schedules. How does everybody feel about it? We'll talk about it. Plus, after an offseason filled with drama, Russell Wilson said all the right things yesterday. You'll hear what he said and why it might not all be true. As we continue, we're getting up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Popeye's Chicken Sandwich. All right, NBA action. We open with the Nets and Bucks. Now to the performance of the night from the West. Jazz, Clippers, Game 2. Donovan Mitchell had 45 in Game 1, and he picked up right where he left off. Look at Mitchell finding space, knocking down the three. Jazz, an early 8-point lead. Final seconds of the first half. Jazz up by 10. That's Mitchell stepping back. He had 27 in the first half on his way to 37 for the night. Fourth quarter, under 7 to play. Clippers trying to hang in there. Kawhi Leonard, where's the defense? Where's the defense? Oh, he throws it down. Kawhi, 21 points. Clippers within 2. Just over a minute later, the lead is 1. Reggie Jackson, he had himself a good night. Led the Clippers with 29. LA a 2-point lead. Steve Ballmer loves it. Mitchell, not happy. He's frustrated. But on the ensuing possession, he would see Joe Ingles. How does that go in? The teardrop ties it 101. Under 5 to play. Jazz up 1. Rudy Gobert. Oh, he slips the screen and throws it down. He had 13 points to go with his 20 rebounds. Jazz up 4 after the free throw. And then Ingles just steps into an uncontested 3. Jazz 23-pointers on the night. Mitchell has 82 points in the first 2 games of this series, and the Jazz have a 2-point lead, 2-games-to-none lead. Donovan Mitchell, the first Jazz player with at least 35 in consecutive playoff games since Karl Malone in 1988. But maybe more important, the Jazz are 6-0 in this postseason when he plays. Elsewhere, the college football world is now one very big step closer to monumental change. The College Football Playoff Subcommittee, in charge of a potential expansion, will propose next week to expand the playoff from 4 teams to 12 teams. You heard me right. Here is what this would have looked like last year had this proposal been adopted in time for last season. You see the byes on your screen. The 4 highest-ranked conference champions would have received a first-round bye that would have included Oklahoma, who, of course, wasn't even involved when the playoff began. So that's what it all looked like last year. Let us now continue the conversation here with Heather and Paul, who join us. And Heather, your stories on this, just fascinating with all the insight. What are the most important things that fans need to know about this proposal and the likelihood that it becomes the new law?
Well, Mike, first, I think the question of timing is what everybody wants to know. When will this happen? And the answer to that is that it's possible it could happen before the 12-year contract expires in the 2025-2026 season. It is not going to happen this year or next season. But in order for it to happen before the contract expires, everyone involved in it has to agree upon it. That's certainly possible. I think another thing fans need to know is why they like 12 over 8. And the reason is because they believe it grants more access, but also preserves the integrity of the regular season and enhances it, and also makes conference championship games more valuable. There was some concern that they were getting away from that. And Bob Bowlsby, the Big 12 commissioner, said yesterday that under this scenario, the practicality of it is that in October and November, there are going to be 25 to 30 teams we're talking about in consideration for this, as opposed to the handful that there are in the 4-team system.
That's right. And so it's sort of flipping the old adage that it dilutes the significance of the regular season. It actually makes more games important rather than fewer games. All right, Paul Feinbaum, I come to you. Again, no one follows this stuff more closely than you do. To you, what is the most important thing fans need to be thinking about as we look at this proposal?
Fans have a bigger investment in the playoff now, Greeny, and what Heather said is so interesting. We would begin the season after Labor Day by you asking people like Heather and myself questions like, who are the top four? You can't do that anymore. There are just too many schools to consider. I think this is one of the most important and exciting moments in the history of this game, and it has to happen sooner rather than later. You can't say in a couple of weeks we're going to do this in 25 or 26. It has to happen the season after next, and if it does, I think the sport of college football can be saved. Greeny, the sport was losing audience. It was losing interest. And give the people that run the sport credit. They recognized that. They quit trying to obfuscate and say everything was copacetic when it wasn't. And this is so significant. It's so exciting. And I just may stick around a couple of years and cover it.
Well, we're not letting you go anywhere. Heather, the Notre Dame angle in all of this is fascinating to me. Explain to people who haven't read your story how Notre Dame is impacted by this.
Because Notre Dame is an independent, and it's not just Notre Dame, it's all independents, they cannot earn a bye in the first round. Even if they are number one in the country and undefeated, the highest seed that they could get is number five, because those first four seeds go to the highest ranked conference champions in this model. Jack Swarbrick, Notre Dame's athletic director, is okay with this. He has to be. He was on the working group that put this together. But it's important for people to realize also Notre Dame could benefit from this. Why? Because they get a break from not playing a conference championship game. And they also, when the playoff starts, in that first round, you're playing at home.
Okay, so there's the good and the bad. Paul Feinbaum, how about the Notre Dame of it all?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever made the following statement. This is really not fair to Notre Dame. I mean, if you go back in the history of college sports, Notre Dame has literally stolen national championships because they are Notre Dame, and there's been so much schadenfreude around the country. But no more, Greeny. They do have some advantages, as Heather said, but I think it's time for Jack Swarbrick and the people that run Notre Dame to get with the program. And the program is they need to be in a conference. Last year, they had the one-off. They joined the ACC on a temporary basis. Remember, they belong to the ACC and everything but hockey and football. I think it's better for Notre Dame to be in a conference because there's just too many obstacles. Playing at home is great, but there's still a lot of risk involved. And two seasons from now, Greeny, think about this. Notre Dame plays Clemson and Ohio State. They could be undefeated, having beaten two of the top four teams in the country, and they still have to play a game to get into the playoff. That's ridiculous.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to leave it there for the moment. You saw all the teams that would have been in if this had been in place last season. A lot more to get to here, and we'll bring Heather and Paul back a little later for some more insight. Guys, thank you. Meanwhile, let me get up and go through some of the other big stories of the day yesterday. The Yankees had a two-run lead going into the ninth, but closer Aroldis Chapman gave up a two-run shot to Josh Donaldson that tied it. Then Nelson Cruz ended the game off Chapman with a two-run homer of his own. Twins won at 7-5, avoided a three-game sweep. Chapman blew a save for the second time in 14 chances. Hockey, the Golden Knights lost their first two games to the Avalanche, but came back and won four straight to advance. They took game six last night, 6-3. They become the eighth straight President's Trophy winner to bow out of the playoffs without making the final. Colorado does. And then earlier in the day, Gisele Warren has emerged as the star pitcher Oklahoma needed to complement its high-powered offense, throwing her second consecutive complete game. Oklahoma beat Florida State 5-1 for its fifth Women's College World Series title. Coming up, Russell says he never demanded a trade. We'll explain why that doesn't mean everything is okay. That's next. It's Get Up on ESPN. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. If you are just getting up with us here, we run the floor through the NBA playoff action last night. Out west, Donovan Mitchell is just awesome. He continues his tear. He had 37 last night. Jazz a 2-0 series lead over the Clippers after a 6-point win. Mitchell, the first Jazz player with back-to-back 35-point playoff games since Karl Malone in 1988. They haven't lost a playoff game this year that he's played so far. Meanwhile, in the east last night, the Bucks bouncing back in a big way, taking care of home court advantage to beat the Nets in a low-scoring affair, 86-83. No James Harden. Chris Middleton had 35, Giannis 33. They combined for 79% of the team's points. Kevin Durant led the Nets with 30. They're still up 2-1. And here is Tim Legler after what was just an embarrassing blowout in Game 2. Give me the one key. What specifically did Milwaukee do that got them back in the series last night?
Well, one big thing they did, Greeny, was take advantage of the way the game was being officiated. That looked like a game from mid-90s. The contact on the perimeter played to their benefit because they've got guys that can get up into you, get physical. P.J. Tucker, Giannis Antetokounmpo, these guys can hound you. Drew Holiday, and it really affected the game. And they needed to do it because it was a night like I felt like I was watching an NBA Jam arcade game. There was only four guys playing offense in that game, two on each team. But the one big difference was, in addition to the guys that were taking all the shots, the Milwaukee Bucks had like an extra guy put into the arcade game, and his name was Brook Lopez. And he was protecting the lane, and he was protecting the rim. Everything was being funneled back there. The Nets weren't getting to the foul line. Only 8 free throw attempts in the game. So Milwaukee made this a half-court slowdown pace that really affected the Nets dramatically because, Greeny, the one guy they have that is most equipped to play through that kind of contact is sitting on the sideline, and as my man Scott Van Pelt said, over there with a beard like a billy goat. James Harden wasn't playing, and if Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving can be played the way they were last night, you can force them into inefficient nights, particularly when nobody else got involved in that game offensively whatsoever. So for me, that game took a turn in how this series is supposed to look if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. You need to make this about defense because that's where the Brooklyn Nets will come up small when they need it most, and they did at the end of this game. You know, Chris Middleton was able to operate with comfort when he needed to. Drew Holiday gets that layup, biggest possession of the game. He basically shoots an uncontested layup. The Nets are not founded on defense. They want to get going offensively and just put too many points on the board for you. If the game is played that way, and particularly officiated that way, to me, that's a major advantage for Milwaukee going forward.
Again, 86-83. With these two teams, usually that means it's time to start the fourth quarter. And that was the final score of last night's game. So I can't think of a better way to ask this question. Are the Bucks back in this series? It seemed so totally over 2 days ago. Are they in it?
Yeah, they're definitely in it now. They got a win, and they're taking a huge sigh of relief because they were able to sweat that out, and they got one. Now, the question is, you know, can Brooklyn be that bad again offensively? What they need to do is understand there's other guys they're going to need to get involved in this. This cannot be my turn, your turn, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving every night because James Harden's the guy that's going to get them easy shots. He's not out there. So now they've got to make sure they include other people. And if they do that, ultimately, I think their offense is going to be a little bit too much for this series. But right now, there's no doubt Milwaukee feels like they're back in it. They shot a horrible percentage from the three-point line. Drew Holiday had a rough night. They relied on two guys the entire game offensively, and they still got a win. That's a great sign for them. But the Brooklyn Nets are the ones that are going to go watch this film, and they're going to realize how poorly they played offensively in this game with the lack of inclusion of other people. 8 free throws, nobody else on the team shooting a free throw besides Durant and Irving. And 8, by the way, is a number each of those guys should get to most nights in a playoff game. So for me, it's Brooklyn that can look at that and say, man, that's not us at all, and that's where you're going to see a much better performance. So look, the Bucks are in it. But Brooklyn has a wide margin now that they can look at and say, we've got to clean some stuff up here, particularly offensively in the way that they move the basketball.
Game 4 will be Sunday. Timmy Legs, thanks a million. Always great to get up here. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend if I don't see you. Again, tonight on ESPN, we have 2 more games, both game 3s. 7:30 Eastern, we have Sixers-Hawks. That series is tied at 1. Then we got Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets down 2-0, hosting Devin Booker and the Suns. Countdown crew starts our coverage 7 Eastern tonight on ESPN. Okay, back to the NFL. Yesterday, Russell Wilson was asked how committed he is to the Seahawks after earlier this year. He went public with some of his frustrations, and his agent put out a list of teams he'd be willing to be traded to. Here's what Russell said yesterday.
In terms of the trade talks, I think anytime you play professional sports, there's always a possibility of something happening, right? And I think that's just the reality. I think that there's a lot of teams out there that people were saying that I was going to or would go to. I requested a trade. I did not request a trade. I've always wanted to play here. You know, and the reality is, you know, I think calls were getting thrown around and this and that, and I think that's just a reality. But I think at the end of the day, the real reality is that I'm here, and I'm here to win, and I'm here to win it all.
The smile in there seemed to say, go ahead, Bart, I'm reading it. Look at the sigh from Bart Scott. Go ahead. What is your reaction?
I mean, it's his fault that we know that he had a list, and the list didn't come out of the air. The list came from his agent. I mean, that's the most credible person that you can talk about. He's the one that's going to request. He's the one that's going to execute the trade. So what is he talking about? We didn't make this stuff up. Look, Russell Wilson realizes that. I think he looks up in his division and realizes that Seattle Seahawks personnel isn't good enough to win. Yes, they're a good team, and Pete Carroll's a great coach, and he's good enough to get them to respectability. They're a team that's always dangerous. They're an organization, a franchise that has always done things the right way. You talk about those type of organizations like the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Baltimore Ravens, the New England Patriots. But he doesn't have enough to be successful, and him getting hit so much last year, he's a family man. I think he wanted to be able to have some power, right? He tried to flex his muscle, but Seattle didn't flinch. So, miss us with all this stuff, Russell. Stop it.
Okay, so, Lewis, I'll come to you on that thought here, and then Jeremy, we'll look to the future in a second. But, Lewis, does it feel to you like everything is good now? Like there was a moment in time when we thought Russell Wilson was about to get traded, and then it felt like, well, maybe he'll play one more season. And now he's trying to make it sound like everything is fine, which is sort of his way of doing business. How do you feel it is, Lewis Riddick?
Yeah, I think he's trying to make it good, Greeny. He's trying to make sure that now the focus is on the fact that, hey, I couldn't get out of here. I couldn't get to a place that I said that I would want to go. I couldn't get to one of my target teams. I couldn't get to Dallas. I couldn't get to Chicago. I couldn't get out of here and kind of show people that I have the same kind of cachet and the same kind of clout as these other quarterbacks in terms of dictating my future or wanting to dictate my future. So I'm going to make the best of my situation here. I'm going to be here to win championships. I need all my guys, my offensive line in particular, to be in support of me. And I need my perimeter guys to work hard. And I need to continue to foster those relationships and see if I can make the best of this. That's what it's called. It's called trying to put toothpaste back in the tube. But I'm not trying to call Russell a liar. But I think what you're doing is, obviously, you understand that this is a game where you're relying on other guys, man. You can't just do it all yourself. But I mean, come on. I mean, when these reports come out and Adam starts making, you know, reporting these issues and saying that there's a list of teams that he wants to play for, I mean, you're right. I mean, I don't think people are calling him up and just flat out lying to him and saying, hey, run with this and just see what this gets and see if this gets any traction. He's reporting news. So, and it's okay if you're Russell Wilson. It's okay to flex like that. It's all right. That's how the game is moving now. People who have clout, people who have cachet, people who really, you know, can affect the outcome, or rather affect the trajectory of organizations, understand that, and they understand that people are going to them when they make some waves. It's all right to do that. Go ahead. Just stand behind it and then move forward with it if it doesn't work out. Players understand. It's a big business now. This is a very big business.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. And look, I mean, the bottom line of it is, if you're a married person and you present a list of four people you would marry in the event that your marriage comes to an end, all is not well. Let's just make that 100% clear. There's no question everything in that circumstance is not fine. That said, Jeremy Fowler, what is the expectation around the sport as far as Russell's future long term?
Well, Greeny, there's a feeling around the league that if Seattle is not at least on the cusp of a Super Bowl this year, that this could get very ugly once again, because there are two issues that happened a few months ago. Russell Wilson was straight up frustrated because he felt his name was floated in trade rumors even a few years back. And then this offseason, he had ideas to try to get back the Seahawks into the Super Bowl. He wanted to present them to the team. He was calling them up, say, hey, what are we doing here, there? He felt like that was met with resistance, that they weren't hearing him. And so there was straight up consternation. Now, since then, Pete Carroll has had several productive talks with Russell Wilson. Wilson was involved in the hiring of OC Shane Waldron. He talked to Waldron during the process. He liked some of the moves they've made in free agency. So Seattle has tried to meet him halfway. Things are much better now. But his contract is very much tradable next year, where the dead money on his salary cap gets cut in half to $26 million.
All right, so we're talking about two superstar quarterbacks in the news that could be in play at some point between now and next year. Guys, sit tight. Much more on that as we continue. Meanwhile, as we continue here on Get Up This Morning, if you thought Julio Jones was impressive before, wait till you see what he can be now that he's motivated by his critics. You'll hear it directly from him. It's on the way. Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Get Your Eyes Checked is brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. And this was remarkable. College baseball, Arizona State and Fairfield. Eli Olafant's pitch high and tight, but instead of the catcher's glove, it winds up in the umpire's pocket. Watch closely. It goes right into the pocket of the umpire. It is ruled a wild pitch, ultimately scoring a runner for Arizona State. No one knew immediately where it was. And so that was that moment yesterday. That's one of my favorite things I think I've ever seen. Okay, yesterday, we got our first glimpse of Julio Jones practicing with the Titans. He missed 7 games last year with a hamstring. So after his first practice, he was asked about his health and his age, and here's what he said.
At the end of the day, I believe in me. I know what I have in the tank. And we're talking about age is 32. Like, I'm young. Like, in football, you can say it's old, but you either do it or you don't. This game don't change for me. I'm still fast and still strong. For those who are questioning my health and things like that, just stay tuned.
Stay tuned, says Julio. Jeremy Fowler, what are people around the league saying they expect from Julio Jones at his age?
Well, Greeny, the buzz out of Tennessee is that Julio Jones is rejuvenated. I'm told that there is a tangible buzz in the Tennessee building and on the field yesterday because Jones looked energized. He looked really happy to be there, like he had been waiting on this trade for a long time and that he wants to reclaim his spot as the top guy in the league. I'm told in this process, Julio Jones wanted to go to an offense where they were going to utilize the deep ball with a quarterback that could get him deep so that he could go run underneath some 60-yard passes. He still believes he's the very best at that. And so people I talked to with Tennessee, they said that even in just some small movements around practice in a laid-back setting, you could still see the explosion.
Lewis, I haven't had you since this trade. What do you expect from him at his age, and what does he make the Titans?
Well, what do I expect from him at his age? Look, I still think Julio is one of those guys who's capable of having a 80, 90 catch season, 1,200, 1,300 yards. Look, 6 out of the last 7 seasons, he's gone basically at – he's been a 1,400-yard producer 6 out of the last 7 seasons. He's had 3 seasons where he went over 100 catches. He's averaged right at 14 yards per reception. So I think, you know, even though he's 32 years old, I'm going to take the man for his word. He's someone who's in tune with his body. I think the video clips yesterday in conjunction with what he showed last year when he was on the football field will tell you he's not hitting the wall anytime soon. And I think this offense is tailor-made for a guy who wants to go deep because Ryan Tannehill in the play-action passing game here is second to none as far as those kinds of plays. And when you're talking about him and A.J. Brown together, who are basically physical clones of one another, although A.J. is a little bit more, you know, probably a little bit thicker and a little bit more, you know, beefed up in that regard. These guys are both deep ball experts. They're both guys who are interchangeable. So you're going to have to pick and choose how do you defend these two guys. So there's going to be some natural throwing lanes on the third level that open up for one of these two. And Julio is going to get his fair share. I love the trade for Tennessee. I love the acquisition. I love it for Tennessee. I love it for Julio. And if he's motivated, then I'm motivated. If I'm down there and I'm Mike Vrabel and I'm listening to Julio say this stuff, I'm saying to John Robinson, bingo. We're rolling now.
Okay. Bart Scott, how about you? What do you think of the motivated aging superstar?
I mean, it's great that he's motivated. He's going to be unmotivated once he watches that defense. He's going to think he's back in Atlanta because I think this is a lateral move. But yes, he makes their offense elite, but he still is going to inherit the same issues that he had when he was in Atlanta. He's going to put up tremendous offensive numbers, but it's going to be all for naught. And the difference is he's going to be in a run-first type of offense. You talk about a guy that wants to go deep. He's going to be stalk blocking, then go from 0 to 100. That's when you need that hamstring helper because that hamstrings ain't going to be loose because he's not going to be running pretty far for a long time. Then they're going to say, hey, Julio, go get us one. You know, I think this is a lateral move, and I think, you know, when you think about it, Corey Davis would have been just as good of an option when you think about his youth and being able to have somebody for the future. You know, Julio is a player that you take when you think that you're trying to win a Super Bowl this year. I don't think that the Tennessee Titans were a Julio Jones away from being a Super Bowl contender because that defense is too porous.
Okay, I see the look on Lewis's face. I think we have significant disagreement here. And I don't have the time to explore it because Ariel is standing by. Guys, I promise you right now, I am coming back to this immediately. Julian, who is producing the show today.
I love you,
bring
Bart.
Bring this back.
I love you, Bart. I love you.
Everyone loves Bart, but you're entitled to disagree.
We're keeping it real, so, bro.
We're coming back on this. I promise. I can't wait to get back to it. But I got Ariel standing by. Hold on. Wow. Let me get to that because UFC 263 is this Saturday night in Glendale, Arizona. On the card, Nate Diaz making his much-anticipated return to the octagon. Israel Adesanya also returning to defend his UFC middleweight title. And as promised, Ariel Helwani gets up with us here ahead of UFC 263. Thank you, as always, my friend, for doing this. So Diaz making his return. If he wins, what comes next for him?
And Greeny, I feel like you're lamenting the fact that you have to talk about the UFC now after that conversation. I feel bad for guys like Bart who are focusing on Julio Jones right now, and they're not focusing on UFC 263 because that's the event. That's the story of the weekend. Forget about Euro 2020. Forget about NFL. Forget about the NBA playoffs. The return of Nathan Diaz, the king of Stockton, the pride of the 209, saying, I want to fight Leon Edwards, who's unbeaten in his last eight, the best guy available. This doesn't happen. And yet he says, I want that fight. I'm picking a fight against that guy. And yeah, of course, if he wins this fight, he should fight for the belt next. You beat Leon Edwards, you get a title shot, without a doubt.
Okay, so he gets a title shot next. And then Adesanya coming in, his first fight since his first professional loss against Marvin Vettori. He beat him back in 2018 in a split decision. It was a very evenly matched fight. How do you see this one in what has huge circumstances either way it goes?
I think we're going to see the best of Israel Adesanya. I think a lot of people are counting this man out. They saw what happened in March against Jan Błachowicz. He moved up 20 pounds, Greeny. He went from 185 to 205. That doesn't happen often. He said, I dare to be great, and I stumble. Well, guess what? I'm going back down to my original weight class, to my natural weight class, 185, where I'm the king, where I'm undefeated in the UFC and outside of the UFC, and I'm fighting a guy who I already beat. Marvin Vettori was way too emotional yesterday at the press conference, way too hyped up. He was losing his cool. He was trying to throw a water bottle. He is off his game, in my opinion, and Izzy is in his mind and under his skin, and I think we'll see a big-time performance from Izzy as he reminds people, once again, y'all must have forgot, I'm one of the best pound-for-pound fighters on the planet.
It is all set to go tomorrow night. And as Israel's, Ariel tells us, that's where the action is this weekend. Thank you, my man. Thanks for getting up. Good to see you. And DraftKings, don't forget, is the official daily fantasy sports partner of UFC. And this Saturday, new players can play free for over $50,000 in prizes when you make your deposit. Download the DraftKings app. Sign up with promo code Octagon for your shot at $50,000 in prizes only on DraftKings. As we continue here on Get Up, while the Packers and Aaron Rodgers wait for the other guy to blink, or finally getting a good look at Jordan Love, we'll get a live update from Green Bay as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.